Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Commanders, and you can take the show with you on the go like I have. AWOD on the road live from training camp, and that's with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at, AUDACY. That's AUDACY. Just search 910 The Fan. You'll hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and pick up right where you left off. If you want to rewind to 12:30, hear my conversation with Commanders second-year wide receiver Luke McCaffrey. And speaking of second-year guys, that's the theme of the show today, as offensive lineman Brandon Coleman entering year two and a new position will join us at 1:30. I'll sit down with Chris Russell from the Team 980, Scott Abraham from WJLA, ABC 7 here in Washington, D.C. But it's 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, which means it's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
And it's AWOD on the road, live from Commander's training camp here in Ashburn, Virginia. Told you about my notes from yesterday. Today, the pads were on. The first day of padded practice for the 2025 Washington Commanders. And, of course, Jaden Daniels is in the spotlight, and every eye is on him. But watching training camp, quite a few others stood out to me as we get to my training camp notes. Look, I really do believe there's some talent at the wide receiver and cornerback room for the Washington Commanders, and someone's going to pop. You know, I just think that this is a much more talented group than it was last year. And I think we'll start on the defensive side of the ball to paint you that picture, as those guys really made some nice plays on the ball today. Tyler Owens stood out right away. He's a guy that's big, strong, seems to be around the ball on every single snap. Was on the team last year as a special teams piece. Can he be more than that this year? Mikey Sainristil stood out immediately, not just yesterday, but today as well. He is so good. He does look like a 5 or 6 year veteran. And as I told you earlier, the size does not slow him down at all. I thought Trey Amos showed off some really good footwork. You know, John Kimes been talking at length about him on ESPN, how this kid's come in here and he might be our best corner. He might be better than Marshawn Lattimore. He's come in with the confidence, and I think he's going to be really good this season. But some people might be forgetting about what Noah Igbinoghe did for the Commanders last year. He looks more comfortable, I think, this year. He had a good play on the ball with a pass breakup and an 11-on-11. And like, when you just consider that he was cornerback 2 for most of last season, well, he might be cornerback 4 now, right? Last year, when this team started the season, it was Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice. Marshawn Lattimore wasn't here. Sainristil hadn't played a real game yet. Amos was still in college. It's a much more talented cornerback room this year, and I think the secondary as a whole will be better. But I'm actually hoping that Noah can be an impactful player this year. But like I said, I think the maybe the best corner this season could be Trey Amos if it doesn't work out with Marshawn Lattimore, but there's still, I think, a lot for him to prove. Over to the wide receiver room, so Terry McLaurin's in the building, not on the field. So the starters, Deebo Samuel, more on him later, Noah Brown. Great to see Noah Brown back here, but it does feel like, you know, he's one bad hit away from getting injured. He was injured last year. He was injured at times during minicamp. But, you know, he looks like this guy, like if he had came out in this year's draft, would have been like a first or second round pick. Like, he's got the size. He's got the strength. He's got really good footwork, great hands. You know, Noah Brown's just got to stay healthy because he could end up being our wide receiver three this year. And if Debo's maybe like a slot guy that also is used in the backfield, maybe Noah Brown is number two on the outside. Luke McCaffrey, who we had on the show, is absolutely going for that wide receiver three or four spot, competing with Noah Brown and Jalen Lane. And then I think there's guys competing for that last spot. And once Terry McLaurin gets his contract signed, he will be in that room. That's five guys that are locked. They'll probably keep six. And so you're looking at KJ Osborne, who Dan Quinn talked about, Michael Gallup, Strachman, Chris Moore, Ja'Cory Brooks, and a few others that I'm not mentioning here. And so I think it's going to be interesting to find out which of those guys not just shows up in training camp, but then shows up in preseason and then would end up making it onto the active roster by the time we get to the regular season. A few other thoughts that I wanted to mention here about training camp. I mean, I thought that Jaden Daniels is just so much fun to watch. I mean, the fans are going crazy every time he makes a play, but it does not stop him from focusing. And, I mean, some of the conversations he has on the sideline. Like, there was one point where him and Tyler Biadasz were talking for about 5 minutes about something. And, you know, that's your starting quarterback with your starting center, you know, discussing, you know, something that happened on the offense. It was like, man, just would love to be a fly on the wall and hear those two talk. You saw him on the sidelines talking to Zach Ertz, as well as one time there was a play in which I don't think Cliff Kingsbury liked it. He went from the sidelines onto the field and had a conversation, a quick one, with Jaden Daniels. And so that's kind of, I think, some of the insight that you get to see for being here at Commanders training camp. But I do need to mention how great the fans were yesterday and again today. I mean, I showed up at about 6:15, and there was a line of people. They let the media in. They did not let the Commanders fans in, I think, until like maybe 7:30. And so you're standing out there for an hour and a half, an hour 15 minutes in the hot weather, and that's how committed this fan base is, because this is the first time in a long time where they entered training camp with legit expectations. I mean, you can say Ron Rivera made the playoffs year one, but it was with Taylor Heinicke. No shade to Heinicke. I loved Heinicke magic, but there's just not that much excitement coming back for another year of him when the team was also 7-10 that year and snuck into the postseason. You know, you could talk about maybe some hype when Gruden had the offense working, but I just always felt like that team overachieved, but they never really had the talent to be a contender. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about being live during training camp for a team out of 32 teams that's a legit contender. And I talked about this on my Saturday show this week. How many teams out of 32 are legit contenders? I said Washington plus 12. 12 other teams contending for that Super Bowl this year, and Washington's included. I had some callers that say, I think you can narrow it down to 8. I had a caller said, I think you can narrow it down to 4 or 5. The four teams that were in the conference finals last year, Philly, Washington, Kansas City, Buffalo, and then you'd probably add Baltimore in there and Detroit. And maybe that's it, six teams out of 32 teams. But Washington is absolutely one of the teams that are contending for the championship this season. So that's why I do think that this is a fan base that is totally bought in and wants to be out here. Once again, I'm broadcasting live, sitting outside of a tent, and it feels like 150 degrees here. And I'm here, happy to be here. Fan base is happy to be here. The heat doesn't matter when your team is good. And darn it, this team is good. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. We've got a lot still to come on the show today, including our run around the beat. We'll be joined by reporter Scott Abraham, reporter Chris Russell, Mitch Tischer from the Beltway Football Podcast. I did have a chance on Sunday to talk to kicker Matt Gay. And look, kicking is not, you know, the sexiest position, but like I'm talking about, when your team is contending for a Super Bowl, that's a huge position. That's a massive role for the coach to trust you with the game on the line to go out there and kick the game-winning field goal. So we'll hear from kicker Matt Gay, and then quickly walking off the field, I grabbed rookie wide receiver Ja'Cory Brooks. We're bringing those conversations live coming up next here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can check out the podcast. We'll be live and local tomorrow as well from Commanders Training Camp from 12 to 3. Best of AVOD Radio is available for you, Spotify, iTunes, and the free Odyssey app on your ride home. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We've taken the show on the road, broadcasting live from Commanders Training Camp here in Ashburn, Virginia. And following the conclusion of practice on Sunday, I grabbed the new kicker as he was walking off the field. Here's my conversation with kicker Matt Gay. Let's take a listen. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Commanders, live from training camp in Ashburn, joined by new kicker Matt Gay. What's going on, Matt?
How are we doing, man? I'm doing great. Loving it.
How do you feel like these first few days of training camp have been?
Been really good. I feel like the team's got a lot of juice. Team's excited. Team wants to work hard. Everyone's bought in. It's hot, and so you see the guys kind of fight through that first little bit of heat, but when you see guys like rise above and, you know, just come together as a team, that's when you really find something special. So I've been here for a little bit, and I feel like this group's got something special.
Well, welcome to Ashburn. Welcome to the Commanders, where we believe the future is now. Can you talk about the process of signing here?
Yeah, things ended in Indy, and wanted to be patient, wanted to find the right spot, wanted to be in a good spot for me and my family and make sure that it fit well and dwelled. And then Washington was definitely the most interested, aggressive, like complimentary to me. They seemed like they really wanted me here, and it's good to feel wanted, like you want to be, you know. And that's kind of really what drew my attention to come here. Seeing what they did last year was special, being wanted to be a part of a group like that. And so, and then you just look at the veteran room, you got guys like Tressway and Tyler Ott. Like, just coming into a veteran room like that is something special too, and really, really cool. So those are some of the things, just being wanted, and then looking at the guys that they had here was a big turning point for me to sign here.
Joined by kicker Matt Gay, and I thought it was so cool you were doing autographs for kids, but you also gave them some advice. Can you explain to me, you were asked how to execute the perfect kick, huh?
Yeah, I had a young kicker out here, high school guy, was asking me a couple pointers on, you know, just some basic tips on how to kick, and so just giving him a few pointers on how to hit a good ball and let guys like that are just young starting out swing away. Nothing too technical, but just a little pointers. If they're swinging hard and just kind of swinging away, things that will help true the ball flat up and do some things like that. So just give them some pointers. You love to see the kids come out here, and was in their shoes at one point in time. So, you know, try to get back a little bit.
I love to hear that. So for our audience members listening, getting to know the new kicker here, how would you describe your range on the field?
I feel like I'm, you know, good from kind of all over. I've had the long ones in my career, but I also feel like I take pride in, you know, making, you know, taking it one kick at a time and making whatever it is. It's treating it like it's a one-on-one, and feel like I have the ability to go out there and hit the long ones if it's called upon me, but also be able to hit the ones that we need that are necessary. Not that, I mean, they're all necessary, but hit the shorter ones, but I feel like my range is solid. So,
how important is training camp for kickers?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, just even, especially the new group out here, just getting into a rhythm with the live snap and hold, finding the timing out of the rhythm, getting comfortable with what the hold looks like, snaps, everything like that. And those guys are awesome. I mean, they've just been seamless, perfect. And so it makes my job easy. But it's good to get out here in the heat, get accustomed to it. And then preseason too, just, you know, get a kick in the stadium, things like that'll be big.
I'm Adam Epstein here with kicker Matt Gay. I know, you know, you're working out, working on your kicks, but when you're not doing that, how much do you enjoy watching this offense at work?
Oh, I mean, you saw it literally today. We're standing off at the end and you have two or three plays. It's like fourth down, must have it, like end of game. And I think Jaden put one back pylon. Jalen Land goes up and snags it and gets the crowd going. And then right after that, Sam Hartman lays one up for, I think it was Mike. Was it Mike down there?
I think it was Strachman, right?
I mean, yeah, Mike got up there and snagged it too. And so that just gets the guys going. This offense is special. These guys are awesome. They love to work hard, and that's what you appreciate. The stuff that you don't see when you see inside the building, those guys take pride in their craft, and that's the special stuff, because that's what you guys see. The special stuff comes out on the field, because what they're doing in there.
Yeah, I mean, last year this team was so good at situational football, and in that situation, two touchdowns, like you mentioned. Your initial thoughts on this coaching staff, Matt?
Oh, they're awesome. They're the perfect. I think they're perfect line of like holding guys accountable, but also giving guys confidence. So it's not like degrading or any way. They give you the confidence. They know that you believe in them, and then you feel that as a player, but also like, hey, they have high standards, and you better uphold those, you know. And so it's the perfect balance between like love and firm. I don't know, like just being like hard on the guys, and but also knowing that they're appreciated and that you trust them.
Can you compare and contrast this training camp, the energy today with the fans, compared to other training camps you've been in?
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of guys out here. Day one, fans were awesome. Fans were out there chilling. Even just out here signing autographs. Their fans are awesome. Just super complimentary. They were great, really polite. Been a part of some good training camps in the past, but this one was cool. The fans out here, you can tell they're excited, and you feed off that. So this was a special day.
You've been in this league before, so in the NFL with the game on the line and you know your name is going to be called here, can you explain what goes through your mind as you walk out on the field knowing the game's on the line for your kick?
Yeah, I just want to do my job for the team. The team does it, so they work so hard to get you in that position. And what's going to get the job done is just my process. So just trying to like go back to what do I do on every single kick? I come out, just stay with my process, take my steps, do the whole thing, and if I do that and I can follow that seamlessly, then I can live with the end result. So
good luck this season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was kicker Matt Gay, the new kicker in town for the Washington Commanders. And there's going to be a moment. There's going to be a play this year, which the Commanders are going to rely on him. Could be a game-winning field goal. Maybe it's a game-tying field goal. Maybe it's just an extra point against the Dallas Cowboys after Terry McLaurin made an 86-yard catch and run. Stub, you think I don't forget about that? How the hell did we miss the extra point? Getting Matt Gay in town, hopefully that won't be the problem this year. After practice, there was a mad scramble, and Biff said, Awad, can you grab wide receiver Ja'Cory Brooks? Biff's been hyping him up, our intern for the summer, as the specialty, the training camp standout that he's hoping can make an impact in preseason and make this roster. So quickly, as Ja'Cory Brooks was walking off the field after training camp signing autographs, I grabbed him for about 30 seconds. Let's take a listen. Adam Epstein here with wide receiver Ja'Cory Brooks. You got the pads on today. How'd that feel?
I feel amazing. You know, good day, another day to practice and stack days and, you know, get equipped with the system.
I feel like you've probably heard by now, especially with the fans calling your name, you're already one of the favorites here at training camp. How's that make you feel?
You know, I feel pretty good, feel confident, but, you know, still, I still got to make my way and, you know, earn the coaches' trust and the players' trust on the team, though, so. You know, I feel good at practice, though, and I love the fans. It's nice out here.
What's the competition like in that wide receiver room?
The competition is hard, but
All right.
So we got our interview cut off there with Ja'Cory Brooks. But, I mean, you could hear how excited he is for training camp, and it does feel like this fan base is hoping and praying that he will make it onto the roster. I will say he didn't stand out maybe as much as I wanted him to, but he's a guy that I really think has a chance to be our sixth wide receiver, maybe as a practice guy, as the seventh guy. But that wide receiver room will be very interesting, especially because Terry's not there on the field. He's in the building, just not on the field. As we continue with my notes from today's training camp, at 11-on-11 action started with Jaden Daniels getting rushed and found John Bates for a big play. The giant tight end who's coming off of a good solid year as a blocking tight end got paid to be this team's number one blocking tight end. We know Zach Ertz is the number one tight end, but Bates will be here for the foreseeable future with that contract. They're going to rely on him to be maybe a sixth offensive lineman in heavy run sets, but also this was a good play in which he caught the ball down the field, and he is a big guy, big fella, hard to tackle. Running back Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. We've talked about the two Ja'Corys, Ja'Cory Brooks, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. Got a round of applause by the fans here at Commanders training camp after a really nice run on the 11-on-11 drills. I thought there was a play in which Jaden Daniels did what veteran quarterbacks do. They identify a blitz, and he snapped it, and he very quickly flung a pass up the middle to tight end three, second-year star Ben Sennett, for a great catch and run. It was a really nice play by both Daniels and Sennett. You know, Michael Phillips turned to me next as we were watching. He was like, Sennett didn't give us that last year. We're really hoping that he can play a bigger role this year, because, you know, we're just talking about the tight end room for a second. Zach Ertz, John Bates, Ben Sennett, and there are other guys competing that's making there a lot of competition in that tight end room, but Bates and Sennett, I think, should be asked and maybe expected to do more given Zach Ertz's age. I mean, you know, he found the fountain of youth last year. He was great, especially in the red zone, and I think he can do that once again in terms of red zone targets and touchdowns. But, you know, when they get the ball to 20 as they're working their way down the field, maybe you see more Sennett. Maybe you see a better version of John Bates this season. The defensive line was really disruptive. I noticed that. You know, it is the first day with the pads on, and so that changes the technique for sure. As we spoke to Brandon Coleman about that after practice, but I thought the defensive pressure, especially from the line, was really noticeable in the 11-on-11s today. Play after Jaden finds Sennett. Next play, good pressure again. Short pass to Jones. And so that's what I felt like I noticed. There was a lot of pressure on Jaden. You know, one time he threw it to B-Rob. He had a great catch, like jump leaping over his head catch. But if this was a game, he would have been destroyed as soon as he landed, right? So there's those little things that you notice here at training camp. It was a short gain on a flat completed pass from Jaden to B-Rob, but credit him for making a play on the ball. That was tough to catch. Jaden threw a ball to Luke McCaffrey, who tried to make a diving catch. Who gets in the way? Mikey Sainer still incomplete. I saw a lot of read option. We'll see if that's going to be a bigger part of the offense. And then they got to the red zone, and Jaden Daniels short to Austin Ekeler for a touchdown. Very efficient corner flare route, something we saw a few times last season. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Jaden Daniels threw the ball to Deebo Samuel across the middle. This was probably my favorite play of the 11-on-11 drills because you saw the ability for Deebo to catch and run. It was like a 15-yard catch that he turned into about a 30-yard gain and got out of bounds without taking a big hit. Just across the middle, made the first guy miss with his speed and turned the corner to get about 25 yards. K.J. Osborne bobbled a pass, and you know what? It would end up being picked off by Quan Martin. So Quan Martin made a play on the ball today. We're expecting him to have a much better, not much better season because he was really good last year, but maybe more of a leadership role because Jeremy Chinn is not here at the safety position this year. Wanted to close out the training camp notes. I think Stubb would probably enjoy this. The drill in which they did full fake field goals. It was like four plays in a row, snapping it to Tressway, kicker Matt Gay fakes like he's kicking it. Tressway gets up, takes off, and tries to complete a pass. Tyler Owens knocked it down. I think he's going to try hard, really hard. He might not just have a roster spot, but be impactful this year. Very physically gifted player. But it was just so much fun to watch full drill of fake field goals for about 3 minutes towards the end of training camp. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. After training camp today, I had a chance to talk with offensive lineman Brandon Coleman. Let's take a listen when we return here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Adam Epstein here with offensive lineman Brandon Coleman, live from Commanders training camp. Put the pads on today. How'd that feel?
It felt great, man. It's like actually playing ball. You know, when you have the shells on, the jersey on, like, it's all about footwork and hands, which is cool. But you can't really come off the ball the way you want until the pads come on. You know, that's where you really grind, get better. Those first couple of days are all about, like, getting your pointers. Okay, what am I going to do right? What do I want to work on? Once the pads come on, you can actually do that stuff full speed, you know what I mean? So being able to come out here and kind of work and compete, felt great for the first day being able to do it from now on.
Yeah, Coach Dan Quinn talked about ramping it up. Today was the big ramp up with the pads on. Did you feel that intensity?
I mean, like, we've been ramped up from day one, man. I know he talks about ramping up, and that's really just how much we do in practice. But, like, the intensity, especially when we have between O-line, D-line, and then just the whole team, like, we're always on go. We're always going to give it the hardest. So it's like the only thing that changed is the fact that we have pads on. And we were hitting the same. We were trying to come off the ball the same. It was always going to be competition. You know, the only thing that changed is maybe a little more team. The pads obviously came on, so you're able to kind of get into blocks better and grab people better. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing day in, day out.
You're with offensive lineman Brandon Coleman. So last year as a rookie, the team has incredible success, 12 wins, two more in the postseason. How would you kind of grade yourself individually from your rookie season?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things I wish I could have done better. And that's, like, just me being self-critical, like, obviously looking back. But the thing is, like, I just take those things and kind of work them into my offseason. I'm very grateful for the guys that I had, like Trent, like Andrew, like Nick, you know, the whole line, the whole room, the coaches. They'll kind of help me get comfortable so quick. Like, I got in, and after rookie minicamp, after the first day of OTAs, like, I felt like I've already been there for years, you know what I mean? I was able to kind of let go a little bit and get used to the scheme. You know, Cliff did a great job, like, with all the stuff that we do to get us ready. And, you know, that's just really what helped me out, kind of get comfortable that first year and kind of start working on things that can make me better, to deepen my bag, the tools, because, you know, there's a lot of great rushes in this league, obviously, in our division. So being able to kind of work that, and now having guys like LT in our room to kind of talk through things and play next to a guy like that is going to be, you know, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, you know, going off of that answer there, can you explain the difference last training camp to this year, year two?
Yeah, everything slowed down a lot. Like, I know what to expect. I know how to take care of my body. I know how to schedule my days. You know, it's also just the expectations and knowing what it takes. Last year I came in, I didn't know what to expect. Obviously, I came to work, but now I have a more specific plan on, okay, what do I need to be successful for the season? What techniques? What do I need to work on? Like, this like, off-season, and especially this training camp, I work a lot on pad level. Like, just coming off the ball, especially inside, like, it's critical to come off the ball running and low. And obviously, a tackle, that's not an emphasis, but I was also just playing very high. Even if I, like, was able to get guys, I couldn't get a lot of displacement. So that was a big emphasis. So, yeah, just being able to kind of work those things and not just go into practice trying to get through the drills and, like, just work the drill, but actually working my own things kind of subconsciously on top of that.
At TCU, did you feel like you were more dominant at guard than at tackle or another position?
It's hard to say because I played, like, 3 games at guard and my ankle got rolled up on and I went back out to tackle. But obviously, I would say tackle just because that's where I played most of my career. But, you know, it's – I feel comfortable anywhere. Like, it's just about changing, like, a few, like I always say, like, a few aiming points. Maybe the pad level, your eyes, but at the end of the day, you got to come off the ball as hard. You got to keep your hands the right way. You got to have fast feet. But that changes our techniques.
So Brandon Coleman with me here. Last year, you were an exciting draft pick. You come in at tackle. Now Laremy Tunsil's there at tackle, and they draft another guy at right tackle, Josh Connolly. How good do you envision this group can be as an offensive line?
I mean, we can be as good as we want to be, man. Like, even last year, we had a fantastic group with the guys that we had. We were able to do what we wanted to do, the schemes, run the offenses like we wanted to. And now adding those guys, you know, Josh may be a rookie, but I mean, he behaves like he's been here, you know, like he's been here 2 years or three. Like, I feel like I came in with this guy last year. Like, that's the way that he moves around the building. That's the way, like, the confidence that he has here and on the field, you know what I mean? So having those guys be able to come to training camp and work these things and really gel together, I mean, we can be as good as we want to be.
here with Brandon Coleman after a terrific first season in the NFL. Was there a welcome to the NFL moment?
Yeah, it was game two against the Giants. Obviously, they have great rushes in Thibodeau and Burns. I had an injury, so coming back, I focused heavy on, like, just getting my techniques right. But, I mean, just, like, all day, they get my hands, they were edging around, and it was just, like, hard to adjust. So that was, like, my welcome to NFL moment. Like, damn, I really need to, like, focus on, okay, what comes next after the first contact? What do I have to, you know, focus on? And that helped me a lot. That moment helped me a lot to, like, focus on getting better, getting patient, all those things I need to work on during the season, which obviously got better throughout that season. But, yeah, that whole game just felt like a welcome to the NFL moment.
I'm glad you picked that one because I thought that was kind of a turning point game. I mean, it's just game two, but you got your first win of the new era here with Dan Quinn, and it was a game-winning drive, right, led by Jaden Daniels. Was there a Jaden Daniels' special moment this year where it was like, man, I'm going to have to block for a few other seconds?
It felt like every game had that moment, you know what I mean? And that's like, I'm just saying, because that's just the type of player he is. Like, I know if I just block my ass off for however long, 15, 20 seconds, he's going to find a way to get the ball down the field to somebody or even run it down to himself, you know? He proved that when we first came in as rookies and even in training camp. Like, he'll go make plays with his legs or with his arm. And as long as we protect him, as long as we give him lanes and give him time to throw, he's going to make anything possible.
How much of a point of emphasis are you guys focusing on? Hey, we can block for Jane. He can make the plays down the field. But the running game needs to be stronger this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's always the emphasis. We work that every day, run and pass. And we hung our hats on that last year. And obviously, there's things that we can always get better on. And even individually, like I said, for me, it was the pad level and just really running off the ball, trying to displace people. And as a whole, just being, like I said, just gelling more, taking this time to really just get cohesive, run those things, and like make it like a second nature to us. And having a great group like the D-line that we have, like they're great run stoppers, but also just like very savvy in what they do run and pass. So being able to work against that day in, day out is going to make us better, but also make them better.
Here with Brandon Coleman, I'm Adam Epstein. So a lot of changes this offseason, improving the offensive line, hopefully can make this an elite group, bring it back to the Hogs.
That's right.
I'm excited to see you go out there and ball out. But interesting running back room, and Deebo Samuel comes in. Maybe you could tell me, have you worked on some things where he's getting the handoffs? What's it like, you know, blocking for a skill position player in the backfield?
Yeah, you know, having a guy like Deebo in the room who is able to play really anywhere is really exciting. And obviously, he's going to come in and make a huge impact. He's a hard worker, always comes out here and connects. Great locker room guy, you know, always hangs around, talks to everybody. And that's just around the whole offense. Like, we have guys that can make plays all around the field. And we just know that as long as we do our job up front, they're gonna do what they do with the plays and the skill players. We're just going to do what we have to do to make sure that they can make that happen.
Brandon, we've heard it from Jaden Daniels. I want to hear it from you here. The success of last season, Jaden says, it's done. It's a new year. How do you describe coming into a training camp where there are expectations now based off of what the team did last year?
For sure. I mean, the only expectation I have for this year that I made for myself, like I said, I'm self-critical last year in terms of what I need to work on. But we know what it is. Like, we know where we want to get to. And it's like the same thing as last year. Like, nobody owes us anything. We don't owe nobody anything. We're going to come in and hunt everybody down, you know, even if they think they hunt us. Like, we're going to go out there and we're just going to hunt every team that we have, every Sunday, every Monday, Thursday, just come in with that mentality.
Brandon, good luck this season. You put the pads on today, and there were fans in attendance. What would be your message to those listening in Richmond, diehard Commanders fans?
Yeah, man, we appreciate all the support. You know, obviously families from down in Richmond, Chester, so shout out to them. But, yeah, I really love the fans. The community always comes out here day in, day out, no matter what the weather was. Yesterday it was hot, they was out here. Today it feels nicer, and there's even more people here. So really grateful for the support that we get, no matter how it's looking. Even from day one.
Friend, I know I said I was going to end the interview, but now I feel like a bad journalist. So you lived in Chester?
No, so my grandma, my American family side is from Chester. Uh-huh. So they're like 2.5 hours south. My cousins live down there. My dad's from there. So like after we get done with priests and stuff like that, I'm going to go see them, hang out for a little bit. But yeah, it's pretty cool to be back, like back where I'm at, where my family's at. They're in North Carolina out here. So it's pretty cool to be back around.
Do you have any memories from going to visit them and being in Richmond?
Yeah, I went to visit because I lived in, obviously, Berlin my whole life. But we went to visit in, like, 07, 08, and like, all my cousins were there. Like, my uncles, aunts, my little cousins were still, like, babies. I remember, like, playing with them in the crib, going to King's Dominion, which is down there. So, you know, it was a great time. You know, I always come over. I never experienced, like, American food up until that point. And at that point, I was, like, hooked. I never seen, like, an all-you-can-eat place where there's everything that you could ask for. And every type of soda, that, like, blew my mind when I first got here. that's like probably my biggest moment. But, you know, just hanging out with my whole family, being that close, it was cool.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. And we've taken the show on the go, AWOD on the road, live from Commanders training camp. And joining me right now from the Team 980, it's Chris Russell. What's up, Chris?
My guy, AWOD, thanks as always for having me, pal. It's great to see you. Great to have a little lunch with you on Sunday. It was awesome to catch up and spend a little time with one of my favorite guys.
Absolutely. I enjoyed that very much. You, Michael Phillips, and Grant Paulson, all guys on the beat, and this dumb clown here myself. But you got to see the practice.
There's only one of us that got to ask a question to Dan Quinn, and you weaseled your way into that. So,
oh, we're going to play that audio. Yeah. Don't worry about that. So yesterday was a practice we got to see. Today was the pads on. Yeah. What differences did you notice?
Well, I would say, I mean, look, the defense has been pretty much taking the cake for the last couple of days. But today you saw the defensive line and what it could be, I think, getting after it with the pads on. I saw Johnny Newton on one snap, just got under one of the offensive linemen, I forget who it was, and just drove him back, pad leverage. And clearly this is what those guys play for and what those guys – and the offensive line is obviously in some flux, let's call it that. Rookie Josh Connerly has been mostly splitting right tackle reps with Andrew Riley, but on the days – and there's been two out of the first five where Laremy Tunsil hasn't practiced. That means Wiley's over on the left side at left tackle, and Connerly's pretty much playing most of the time at right tackle, and no Sam Cosmi. So you would expect, right, that the offensive line – is getting controlled a little bit, and that's basically what you saw. But it was good to see. You know, I talked to Ben Sinnott after the practice, and he's like, you know, it felt real, right?
Yeah.
Like, and Dan Quinn said essentially the same thing this morning. This is the essential part of training camp. This is what they do. And yeah, your body is sore, you know, hitting all that stuff, but you find a way to kind of persevere, get through it. They had a shorter practice today on Monday with the full pads on. They'll ramp it back up again. They do a good job cycling in and out. So I think it was a good first day in full pads.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. But especially in terms of the defensive line having the upper hand on the offensive line. But the pads just get on, and that really changes the technique for those guys.
Yeah, and listen, no matter what side of the fence you're on or what side of the ball you're on, we know low man wins, right? And the technique is get underneath and jack up, get underneath and push up, right? And like, I think the offensive line is, again, I mentioned certainly in transition on days that Laramie Tunsil's not there. So I think everybody just needs to understand that it's still very much a work in progress, even though they have new pieces. They need to be better. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I wouldn't like, oh my, like, I think the narrative, especially, Awad, maybe I saw the wrong thing. I don't know, you know, what exactly you saw. I think the narrative that will come out of today is, you know, like on Friday, the defense just kicked the offense's butt, right? Interception after interception. That was the narrative. But that was a correct narrative. I think the narrative that comes out of today is, oh man, the defensive line really torched the offensive line. And yes, that is true. But remember, it's one practice. And again, remember, there's a lot of flux. So just everybody settle down. Let's see what happens. They will get better as they get more experience, especially Connerly, the rookie, and again, a bunch of moving parts.
Chris Russell with us from the Team 980. The defense winning, I think my perspective on that is that's good news. The defense was the worst of the two units last year between the offense and the defense. And I've so much confidence in the offense. They could lose every day at training camp, and I feel like they'll be ready to go by week one. But the defense getting better is a big focus on this team. So you mentioned the D-line. Let's talk about the secondary now and how that is so much improved just based off the personnel.
I mean, I thought that was going to be the biggest area of improvement. Just if you think about it, right, last year at this time, Emmanuel Forbes, Benjamin St. Juice, Michael Davis, all three obviously long gone, right? And you replace them with Jonathan Jones. You bring back Noah Igbinoghene. Of course, you have Lattimore, and that's a huge key that if he stays healthy. Sandra Still now is in year two. He's a baller. We know that. Inside, outside, it doesn't matter. He's just a football player and a damn good one. And then you throw in, you know, again, Trey Amos, who, you know, is a rookie, but doesn't look like so far, a rookie. Am I forgetting anybody else?
I mean, Seymour.
Oh, Will Harris, right?
Will Harris.
You know, at safety, right? Right, Seymour, you know, so the overall depth of the group is way better, number one. The experience of the group is better. I mean, even guys like Harrison Jones, right, coming from other systems, they're experienced NFL players, one with a lot more of experience than Will Harris, meaning Jonathan Jones, but they're experienced defensive players. So even though they're learning a new scheme, terminology, and whatever, they've been in the playbook since, what, April or whatever it is, right? They've been here. They've been in the meetings. It's not like rocket science, for God's sakes. It's about playing. And I've seen a lot of sticky coverage, man. Like, sticky coverage without a lot of hands, which I think is a good sign, because remember, one of the criticisms against Benjamin St. Juice is he could provide some sticky coverage. He could be on your hip, but he's always using his hands, and he's always drawing penalties. I haven't seen a lot of that.
No, it's a great point. And so we've touched on the secondary, touched on the defensive line. I don't know about you, but I don't really see much out of the linebackers except for Luvu and Wagner. Is there anybody else that you'd talk about?
Well, I mean, I think Jordan McGee is going to be a really good contributor as long as he can stay on the field. I think he's still ramping back up. The athleticism is something that, quite honestly, they don't have enough of specifically at that position, even though Luvu is... Yeah, I saw Luvu get beat, by the way, on a little in-cut slant by Ben Sinnott, who I talked to after practice, from Jaden Daniels, who's just a great play. It wasn't Luvu. It's just a great play, great ball delivery, what have you. But that's not his strength, right? His strength is coming down towards the line of scrimmage, getting after it. Same thing with Bobby Wagner, right? Stopping the run, attacking the line of scrimmage, and blitzing, whatever. So I think they really need kind of like a linebacker that can find a way to kind of maybe not just be a primary attack the line of scrimmage type guy, somebody who can sit back in zone drops. I can't tell you how many times I remember specifically the Baltimore game where they just got shredded over that second level of the defense because they don't have anybody that's good in pass coverage. Well, if Jordan McGee can be that, or if Dominique Campton can be that, or somebody else can be that, Cade Majano, the rookie, sixth-round pick out of UCLA eventually, if they one of them can be that, that's something that they're missing.
Yeah, you mentioned Majano. Man, he looked big walking off the field. He looked fast as well. Didn't see enough of him at training camp, but I'll have my eyes on that tomorrow. I want to move over to the offensive side of the ball. You and I were watching practice today, standing next to each other, and we noticed a run from Jaden, and then a read option, and then pass rush, and he takes off. it's going to be a fine line deciding how much he's supposed to run this year. But I feel like from what I've seen in 2 days, the run option, the read option, it's going to be a big part of this offense once again.
Still going to be a big part. Yeah, absolutely. It's still going to be a big part. And anytime, look, there's a difference between purely 100% designing a quarterback run, meaning shotgun, quarterback draw. Sonny Jurgensen, the legendary Sonny Jurgensen, always used to say, and this was under Mike Shanahan, Kyle, in the booth, he'd be like, inside the 10-yard line, quarterback draw, natural quarterback draw from shotgun, right? And just, there's a difference between that call, that design, and read option or RPO and the different elements of this offense and what you do with Jaden, right? But naturally, Jaden is going to run the ball more because of that incorporation, right? What I want him to do, ideally, is I want them to be better and more efficient on first down so that it puts less pressure on him to make something that maybe isn't there or maybe isn't, you know, doesn't jump out right away on second and long, third and nine, that type of thing. Because, and where they don't have to go for it on fourth down as much as they did, even though they were really successful. So I think the thing about this offense that I'm most looking forward to, Awad, I don't know about you, is first down efficiency, second down and 8 or 9 efficiency, lessening the need for 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 4th and 2, whatever the case, lessening the need for Jaden to, again, be more of a Superman, more of a Houdini than anything.
Yeah, no, I'm so with you. I feel like he's more likely to stay healthy the more the offense is on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these off-schedule plays where all of a sudden it's 3rd and 14, he's trying to make something happen.
Totally agree.
You know, that's where you could see him get hurt or just have an error, you know, have an interception.
Yeah, I listen, he turned plenty of those type situations into something special where at least, you know, if it was 3rd and 12, he'd get 10, and then they'd go for it on 4th and 2, and that's great. And they had a lot of success with that. I don't want... Like, the thing that attracted me to Jaden coming out, and we saw it plenty last year, I don't want to make it seem like we didn't, is passer first, runner second. Now, again, there's going to be some natural elements to the read and the execution of, you know, read option and RPO and all that stuff, right? And I don't want to get too far in the woods. There's going to be some natural elements to that that are going to force him to run more. But I want him to be a release the ball first to protect him. Anytime you're out of the pocket, more people say, well, you can get hurt in the pocket. Yes, of course you can get hurt in the pocket. You know what there is in the pocket that there isn't out of the pocket more of? A lot more protection for the quarterback. You can't take the shots as much in the pocket when you're out of the pocket as a runner, and especially north of the line of scrimmage. So I want him to be... more like, I'm cool with the horizontal passing him. I think they're going to throw more screens on the edges to the running back, more natural running back screens, especially if Eckler stays healthy, which is an if, but even when B-Rob is in there, or maybe even Merritt or whoever, because you go out and you get 2 athletic offensive tackles. Presumably Connerly is the starter at some point, whether he's early in the year, whether they're rotating, or whatever they're going to do in Tunsil. You want that athleticism on the edge, on the perimeter, to kind of be the nuts and bolts of your offense. A little less horizontal, meaning east and west, a little bit more maybe northeast or northwest, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where you're using the running back screen or even the tight ends or the wide receivers, but you're trying to get more vertical and out as opposed to east and west. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So,
Chris, always appreciate you stopping by. So I know you'll have Ben Sennett today. What else you got coming up on Team 980?
Got Tyler Owens, Ben Sennett, as you mentioned. And, when you're done, if you want to pop by, love to have my guy Awad on.
Of course.
You know, I mean, if you can make time for me in your busy schedule. I know you
hey, you're
the
one that's got a lunch.
I'm going to go, grab a little lunch, so.
Chris, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate you.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.